Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Jen L'Esperance. Jen is an internationally recognized innovator, developer, entrepreneur, and YouSpark advisor at the YouSpark Live event in Vancouver. Jen, it's been a few years. We had a talk about 5 years ago, and you've just done so many amazing things since then. You know, you got so many outstanding contributions.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's actually very exciting to speak with you again after so many years. So the idea of the YouSpark Live event is really just to help young people see opportunities between entrepreneurship and technology, to inspire them, to give them ideas, expose them to people in that field who are attempting to do great things between entrepreneurship and technology, or even as part of large corporations. And I hope to just be relatable. Usually when I'm invited to these, it's because there's a youth factor and they want somebody who has experience in programming, but who is also relatable and who can share experiences that resonate with them. So I hope to encourage them to consider a career in technology.
Well, Jen, you're sort of the perfect person for it because you are the serial entrepreneur and you've been an innovator for so long since you're, grade school, right? It's just amazing. Now, I know you're in this joint major program in computer science, molecular biology at McGill. Can you talk more about that and why did you choose that joint?
It was actually really funny that I ended up in this field because I actually was very interested in psychology, but it was more of I watch Criminal Minds. They like psychology. I like psychology. Why not do that? But after high school, I was exposed a lot to Microsoft Imagine Cup, different technologies, and then I worked at Microsoft Research after programming and learning SharePoint and things like that. And seeing what everybody was doing and seeing this huge open-ended field between biology and computer science, I thought, this isn't my opportunity to be unique. This is my opportunity to use something that I really enjoy, which is programming, with something that I actually really love reading about and studying, which is biology. And with these two fields, I have an opportunity to build the technologies that can be used in biology. And I'm very inspired by bioinformatics and challenges in that field. Initially, I thought about joining a bioinformatics company, working with geneticists or in developing algorithms. Like the past few semesters, I've been working a lot with BRCA2, which is the breast cancer susceptibility gene, and using computer algorithms that are not well understood by geneticists to determine when a gene is mutated and what that can do in the cell. And the ultimate scenario is breast cancer for this particular gene and mutations in that gene, as well as other types. But there's a lot of opportunity in that, and the possibility for research and developing new approaches. And that was actually the end goal. But then around Christmas, I started doing iOS development, and I made my first application, and it's in the iTunes store, and I loved it so much that maybe I will develop mobile technologies that have a molecular biology purpose after graduating. I'm not sure.
Hey, Jen, I mean, you talked iOS, but also Microsoft phone too, right? Windows 10?
Oh, absolutely. I just need one. I don't have one. I need one. I would love to work with those.
Hey, and I'm actually in the investment area as well. So maybe if you become an entrepreneur, I can invest in your company.
It's very exciting. So far, the company only has an app for an old television show called Charmed. But when it becomes something relevant to you, then yes, absolutely. If you want to invest, I would love your support. It started with teaching kids programming, and that has continued for a long time. I actually haven't taught a course in a little while, just between being in school and working a few different part-time jobs. I've been lucky enough to have my peers in school who I consider young developers, people who have really inspired me and encouraged me to consider new tools and new resources for developing the projects that I want to develop. But most importantly, working with youth and teaching them programming, or just being somebody that they can talk to you about considering a career in technology, it's changed. I feel like because I have done so much more in the field and I've become far more involved than I was in previous years, I can be a really good resource for them, for the questions that they have and for the experiences that, or the questions that they need answered. So I really hope that the Youth Park Live event in Vancouver is rewarding for those students, in the sense that they can approach me and they can ask me the blunt questions that they have, the concerns that they might have about the field, and any suggestions for improving their programming skills or developing them from the ground up, laying that foundation. And because I went through a university program, but I wasn't one of those computer scientists who started when he was 6 years old on a piece of hardware, you know, just playing around with things. I wasn't that person. And so I feel like I can be a little bit more relatable to people who are considering tech as a teenager or as a young adult and who want to start learning programming, because it can be very daunting, if that's the word that I'm looking for, to consider a career in tech and to become involved in it. So I hope that I can just be a source of, or a representative of people who start a little bit later in life and who are really happy and very passionate about it and who find it very rewarding.
Now, Jen, you're doing some active development, so we have a lot of seasoned developers in the audience. Do you have any software tips that you want to share with them?
I actually don't. I am not a seasoned professional. I am accepting tips. I learned programming, thankfully, through an agile developer. So he goes into companies and he helps them do more agile development. And he also taught me test-driven development when I was first working with teaching kids programming. And I found that to be a really good way for me to learn, is to build out the steps and then test as I go to make sure that everything works. I know a lot of my friends who write so many lines of code and then just start testing and finding bugs. But I much prefer the test-driven development method, where you go through and you know what you're looking for in each piece, and then you write the code to solve that test first. So
okay,
that works very well for me.
Let's change the question then. As a person who is entering into this sort of whole development milieu, what kind of recommendations would you give? You know, you gave a couple already. Are there others that you want to give to people who are just starting out?
I really hope people try not to make computer programming too much of a solitary thing. I know that computer scientists, we apparently live in basements and program on computers all by ourselves, but I've actually found I have learned so much from talking to other people. I started learning SQL in January, and my father works with SQL, and so I actually asked him a lot of questions. And when it came to developing a mobile application, I actually spoke to peers and friends of mine who either have done it or are doing it, and asked them questions, and they would guide me, or they would show me new resources, like analytics tools and frameworks that you want to put into your application. I wouldn't even know about them if it wasn't for one of my friends. And I try not to be solitary when you're learning computer science, because and the way that I was taught it initially when I was younger was that you actually speak better than you program, or you can explain a concept better than you can program it, for some people at least. So it really helps to understand it in a way that you can explain it to somebody before you need to program it. And sometimes just talking or throwing ideas off of other people really helps.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about networking with others and learning by networking with other people out there. Do you sort of work with people like, or do you belong to organizations like the Association for Computing Machinery or the Canadian Information Processing Society or others that are out there?
I mean, I actually really like to be part of societies or groups that meet up. In Montreal, we don't have that many. Luckily, I have a really good network of friends and a few different gaming companies that I know from working for a gaming company last summer. I'm not part of the societies, but I would really like to. I think there's an opportunity to have more meetups, to do sort of like a rough coding for a few hours with people together. I think there's some really cool opportunities there. I was part of my computer science undergraduate society at McGill, and that has also been really helpful to ask people for suggestions on different tools to use for whatever project I'm working on at the time.
Well, I actually sit on one of the boards of the Association for Computer Machinery, and then I'm a past president of KIPP. So, there's just a lot of resources with these organizations. I just thought I'd add that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, Jen, you're kind of like a renaissance person. Like, you do so many things. You have so many interests. Can you talk about some of them?
I think at the time that we first spoke 5 years ago, I didn't necessarily have big dreams, but I had way too many dreams. I really wished I had 5 lives for all the different careers I would really like to have. But instead of just trying to do everything, I decided to limit it and then go into depth on those. So honestly, my perfect day is an hour or two-hour-long run followed by programming and maybe seeing friends. That is my perfect day. I really enjoy running so much that I did my first ultra marathon at 21 last August, and just released my app on the store last month. Perfect combination for me. Those are my the favorite interests, and I'm working on improving and trying to become an expert in those two levels, although I don't think I'll ever be an Olympic athlete. Those are my two niches.
Now, Jen, you've done a lot of speaking and traveling and worked with many different organizations, including with Microsoft Research. You must have something that's interesting, amusing, surprising that you can share that would maybe shock the audience.
The best story I could tell is when I met James Cameron at the Imagine Cup. So I was reporting on the event as like a youth tech person on YouTube. And I asked his wife a few questions about this sort of alternative education institution she had made in Los Angeles and how she wanted to pretty much bring the parents out of the picture and just let the kids play with the tools that they wanted to, anything related to STEM, because oftentimes it's the older, like it's the teenagers or the parents who sort of impose these stereotypes on kids of the girl should play with certain tools and the boy should play with other things. And she wanted to remove them. And James actually really supports his wife in this initiative. And so when I spoke to him, I asked him what he thought about girls in technology or kids in technology, like really exposing them to the opportunity that's there. And he was so passionate. It took me by surprise. For somebody who is so great, who has made Titanic and Avatar, to be telling me statistics about women in astrophysics, I believe at the time he said it was 2%. I was baffled. I was incredibly impressed and really grateful for the opportunity to hear that such a great person considered it his duty to try and fix these numbers, to do what he could within his power to help people and other organizations and his wife's school to encourage women to consider careers in STEM.
And now he's the first level contact in LinkedIn, right?
I actually don't even know if he has LinkedIn. I should check that.
Yeah, you should reach out and say, hey, let's connect, right? So, you know, is there some fun fact that nobody knows about yourself that you can share?
I actually don't know. I think I'm a pretty open book. Like, if I eat 6 bowls of cereal, I'll tell everybody. It's not a secret.
Well, I know your mom was this sort of global martial arts guru. Are you still, are you in martial arts at all?
No, we both finished. So I finished with my black belt first dan, and I think she finished with her black belt second dan. So she's definitely a boss. She's incredible. But we separated from karate, and I think we took up intensive running together. So the ultra marathon that I did last August, I actually did with her. So it was really cool to spend 9 hours running through a forest with my best friend. And did anything strange happen on that run that I could tell you about? Well, she got stung by a wasp and her shoe busted. So for about 25 of the last kilometers, she had to get duct tape put on her shoe so she could run the rest of it.
Okay, well, that's funny, right?
She doesn't think it's that funny. Maybe we should cut that.
Now, you're going to do this youth conference. We talked about that. It's just because you've got this great background and you're going to be able to drive passion for the people that are participating.
There's one message that it happened recently that I realized this is the message that I think I can give. This is the best message that I can give. And it's a little bit like a short story, I guess. So I went to a talk not too long ago by a very famous engineer. And he spoke about how when he was younger, he worked with all these tools. He was always building projects. Eventually, he started a really huge company, and he was just the engineer. He was the source of the ideas. He just wanted to build and create and improve on things. And so he talked about how in school he would read the textbook before the classes even started. He wanted to know everything, every detail, every fun fact about every class that he was taking. He was very excited about computer science and hardware engineering. And eventually he started teaching some classes as part-time work, I guess, to middle school, elementary school. And he would notice, along with other teachers, that there were a few students who would answer all of the teacher's questions correctly. They would do more than what was expected on an assignment in a project, and they really enjoyed having the fun facts or knowing everything that they could. And then all of the students around this particular person would sort of look at that one and say, oh, I guess I didn't work that hard on this project, and maybe that isn't me. Maybe I'm not very smart or very nerdy. And slowly they'll just retract. They'll pull out of school and they'll just be more, they'll coast. Or they will do the bare minimum. They will do as is necessary to just get through school, and they won't invest their heart and their time in their studies. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what happens with people when they look at STEM fields, a lot of my friends I've seen this with who aren't in technology or in STEM, they see it as something that only the nerdy people do, only the people in that elementary school class who answered all the questions and did all the homework intensely and did more than was asked are the ones who eventually go off and do the hard sciences and who spend their time working on difficult projects and coming up with crazy concepts. And I want these individuals at the U Spark Live in Vancouver, these teenagers, let's say, to know that that's not how it always works, and that I was not a child prodigy. For the most part, I was the student who did the bare minimum. If I got an A, it was just because by chance I got an A. I never did more than was necessary on an assignment or a project. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I thought this isn't my opportunity to be unique, to submit the same answers as everybody else, to submit the same project or the same work as everybody else. It didn't inspire me, and it didn't. I didn't consider it a challenge. So I finally found programming, and that's where I realized this is my opportunity to be unique. And since then, I haven't been able to stop. I've picked up textbooks. I think I'm the only person who would leave a party on a Saturday night and come back to my SQL textbook for CLRS and be reading something or trying to learn something new that I could apply to projects that I'm working on now. And I think youth need to know that it's not too late, and that not everybody has to be the super smart kid in school to do really great things in life, to do really great mobile or web or software technologies. I want them to know that there's so many opportunities to feel like, oh, well, I'm 18, maybe I should just keep doing what I'm doing and it'll just work out. No, if you think technology is a field for you, if you think you have an idea for an application, build it, learn it, and even if it's not programming that you find that resonates with you, maybe you want to be a business architect or a data scientist or a UI designer. There are so many jobs that are nearby to being a computer programmer that you can find something that inspires you every day.
You know, there's some great messages in there. Now, we're going to sort of broaden the kind of perspective here. How can governments get involved at some level?
I think people just need to be challenged, and governments have those resources and that opportunity there to either develop competitions or support institute or support organizations to create courseware. There's a lot of really cool clubs and societies and small companies that are trying to build courseware for teaching computer programming, whether it's through gaming or whether it's through real CS, like hardcore education. And I think it's important that governments show their support just like they would for an English type courseware or mathematics. Programming is very important for the future, and if they start to show their support, and I think it'll continue from high school down to middle school and elementary school, and with that support we can get better courseware to schools.
Now, a big part of the audience here for this interview are senior executives, CEOs, CIOs, CTOs. Why should they care, and how can they contribute?
If they don't know why they should care, I'm not sure if I could ever accurately explain it, because the youth, my classmates, individuals younger than me, we are eventually going to be the employees that they're, or the people that they interview and consider for jobs and posts. It's important that we have a really great mentality when it comes to programming. I find that I can really tell the difference between how a computer programmer thinks and how a law student thinks, or an arts major thinks. These are very different mindsets, and I think a computer programming mindset has a lot of advantages if these executives want programmers in the company. So they need to help build the foundation in younger students in high schools and elementary schools, so they approach problems in university and in their jobs with the same tenacity and the same excitement as they did when they were younger, with a lot of foundation there. So whether or not you start when you're young or when you start older, it takes a lot of time to build that foundation, to be able to understand computers and whether it's data structures or algorithms. And the more that they invest their time in now, the greater the payoff will be later on.
Jen, you've done a lot throughout your career, and you're going to do a lot more. What items do you still have on your bucket list of goals that you want to achieve, and how will you accomplish this?
I have yet to physically create a bucket list, but I would love to collaborate with some of the big campaigns out there and either lend my support by teaching courses or to just be a part of it. Something on my bucket list I think would be really great would be to collaborate with Emma Watson on the He for She campaign. There's so many top-level male senior executives of tech companies who, not just the actors and celebrities who tweet He for She, it should be powerful people in very important positions who also lend their support, whether it's to the women in their STEM companies, or the women in their lives. They should be lending their support, and I would love to help encourage that and to collaborate with the program on that. And other things on my bucket list, oh boy, there's possibly too many to make a list out of, but definitely working, that's an interesting question. Hold on 1 second, I think I have it. Oh, right, okay, so not related to technology, but I would really like to do another ultra marathon, so that can go on the bucket list.
Okay, we're down to our last question here. Who do you admire and why?
There's a very important person in my life. Her name is Lynn Langit, and I consider her a force of nature. She is just incredible. She's a cloud and big data architect. She also has the three sort of big awards from three large companies. So she's a Microsoft MVP. She's an Amazon Web Services community hero for cloud technologies, and she's a Google developer expert. So she has her hands in everything, and she doesn't stop moving. And I am so impressed by her passion for her field, but also how she supports others along the way. She really tries to bring in everybody, male, female, computer scientists, non-computer scientists, and support them and encourage them to participate in the projects and the work that she's doing. And I really hope to be the same way when I have the opportunity to bring people in on my projects and to encourage them to just be inspired by the work that comes our way.
You know, Jen, have you followed the work of Maria Clavé by any chance?
No, I haven't. Sorry, can you say her last name again? Maria?
Clavé. She's on the board of Microsoft, and she was at the Grace Murray Hopper with Satya, and where she talked about pay equity and things like that, and just a really, really significant person. So if you follow her work, I think you'll find it quite interesting as well.
Great. Yes, I will look into her. Thank you.
Well, Jen, you know, it was just such a pleasure to talk to you again. You're just an amazing person, and you've done so much. And I know you're deep into your studies and projects at McGill, plus all of the things that you're doing outside of that of the university. And I thank you for taking the time and doing this interview.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Stephen. It was really lovely to speak with you again.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Jen L'Esperance. Now, Jen is just a remarkable innovator, entrepreneur who has done so much and contributes on an ongoing basis to the global environment. Thank you again.
Thank you.